Well, welcome to this special one-hour program, Hope for the Hour. This is Pastor George Small, and here in Central Massachusetts, this is a pre-recorded program recorded Friday morning today with a special guest here locally in Fitchburg, Pastor Abby, Pentecostal Church of God. And we were not able to do this live at 6 o'clock our normal time, so we've pre-recorded this. So just want to mention that to you. This is recorded earlier in the day. But again, this is George Small. You're listening to Renew FM. And we've been using this 1 hour on Renew FM to encourage you, our listener, giving you hope for the hour at a time like this in the world, 2020. It's shaping up to be a year that we're all still trying to figure out even what's going on. And we want to be here in the studio here at Renew FM to encourage you. One of the ways I've been doing this is to interview local pastors and missionaries and just to, you know, let the body of Christ encourage you, people from different places and backgrounds and so forth. And what we have found is, no matter who we are and where we live, I've even interviewed missionaries in faraway places. We're all in this together, aren't we? And we're all learning through all that is going on. Well, we're also in Fitchburg having a special prayer event this Sunday called Call to Fall at 4 o'clock in Fitchburg on Main Street. And if you haven't heard about it, churches, various churches are gathering together here locally. Call to Fall is a national movement of prayer where churches on the Sunday before Independence Day since 2009 have spent some of their Sunday morning service getting on their knees and just praying in repentance, praying for revival, praying for God's grace at a time like this in America, in our land. And we have decided locally with a vision God appears to have clearly confirmed and spoke to our hearts to take Call to Fall this year out on Main Street of Fitchburg, like a video we saw of a Brazilian church this year earlier, back in the spring, where the believers got out on Main Street on their knees. And on Main Street, not in show, not trying to attract attention. Desperate times means desperate measures, really in desperation, seeing what's going on in our world and interceding on behalf of our city and the people of our city and our nation. And so Call to Fall, that's what we're doing this Sunday, on our knees, social distancing along Main Street, different churches, different backgrounds, different languages. And so with that in mind, we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go along. I have just the privilege of having Pastor Abby with me this morning, which we're airing again at 6 o'clock. But he's with me in the studio, and he's also involved with Call to Fall, his church. And we have different backgrounds and different mother tongues, different languages, but the body of Christ, you know, we love Jesus. We are brothers in Christ and are joining together with this effort and other churches too. And so I want to introduce to you Pastor Abby and have him tell you a little bit about his story and his church. Pastor Abby, just a privilege having you with me in the studio. And if you could just encourage our listeners, tell them a little bit about yourself, your church, and your story.
God bless everyone, and thank you for the invite and also for also being part of this great event that's going to happen Sunday. For us, it's an honor to join you in prayer for the city. And we've been here 5 years. In Fitchburg, pastoring, and it's been a great experience to get to know the city, and we really, even we only been here for 5 years, we feel part of this community, and we love Fitchburg. We have grown an awesome love for this city, and thank you again for the invite. It's an honor.
Yeah, Pastor Abby, it's an honor to get to know you. I've just appreciated already learning about your life and just hearing your heart. And it's exciting for my wife and I, my wife and my daughter also, some in our church. We've just been asking the Lord for, you know, just more grace to be able to get to know other churches, especially some of the Hispanic churches. And so to, you know, be able to get to know you more now and to be part of this prayer gathering, it's just really an answer to our prayer. Now, you've been pastoring for a few years. Tell our audience a little bit about your church in Fitchburg, you know, your ministry.
Yeah, well, we, it's our first experience as pastors. We were part of a congregation in Worcester, Massachusetts for more than 13 years, you know, and there we developed a different areas of leadership. one of the last ones, we were, my wife and I, we were youth pastors. We were youth pastors for 4 years. And then, you know, we were struggling with the calling. Because at first we just didn't want to admit it, that we were called to be pastors. We were comfortable and where we were as leaders. And but then this opportunity in Fishburne happened, in the 280 Water Street. That's where we were located at first, and it's a 2,000 square building, which by the time we got here, there were around 13, 14 people. And I know I was sharing this story and how God, you know, worked in our ministry in a way, you know, you kind of like, Pastor George, I know you, when you have goals, you kind of set goals and the next 5 years, this is the way we want to see. We really did not think that it was going to happen that fast. It was
that's wonderful.
It was an experience. I remember the owner of the building next door to us, which is around almost 8,000 square. So now together, two buildings is about 11,000 square feet.
Wonderful.
I remember she was calling me and she said, "Listen, I have a proposal for you. I want you to buy this building." And I said to her, "Listen, right now I only have 13 to 15 people and $250 in my bank account. I can help you pray so you can find a buyer." And Pastor George, sometimes, you know, it's amazing how us as human, we can fall into, we doubt quickly. Because when we first got there, my wife and I, after everyone left, I remember that building was still a school. And we will lay our hands on that building, you know. And we were like, you know, God, if it's your will, this place will be ours. You know, my prayer was like, I was hoping that they will find a better place and we can have that place. But when the moment happened, I had doubts. I had doubts because I was looking at reality. I was looking at the bank account. I was looking at the how many people we had. And all of a sudden, she said, "No, I want to sell it to you and to you only. And we're going to make it happen. I just need you to find $20,000 in 3 months." And I was like, okay, challenge accepted, I guess. And we spoke to the board, and it was a very spiritual meeting because they accepted the challenge, and they were actually eager that and believed that could happen. And 3 months, we were $1,000 short. The day, I would say, a couple of days before the deadline. And I remember getting home and checking the mailbox, and there was a letter from a board from New Jersey, of a church board of New Jersey, and they said that they felt in their heart to provide, to help us with an offering, because they saw, you know, that we were in a mission to buy the building. And they say they felt in their heart that God spoke to them, and it was exactly $1,000 to have. Wow. $20,000 to be able to buy the place. And I remember when we finally signed the agreement that we were going to buy it, I just went home and I got on my knees and started crying.
Praise the Lord.
And it wasn't a cry because it wasn't a cry of, "Oh, I got the place." It was a cry more of, "Who am I? Why are you allowing this to happen under our ministry? I'm only been here a year." And I started crying because I started thinking of the pastors that preceded me, that were before me. And I know that they were praying, and I know that they were really working hard for that to happen. And the previous pastor, he's no longer alive, but one of the testimonies that one of the members were saying is that he used to say, "God is going to give us that place. I might not see it, but that place is going to be ours.
Wow.
And that got to me very deep because, and then I was at home. I started crying and I was like, why me?
Yeah.
Why me?
Amen. Let's just, you know, Pastor Abby, that is a wonderful story.
Yeah.
And as I have also mentioned to you, we have stories here where you just see the hand of God, and we so much need that. You know, God has called you, and I would imagine, I feel like a fish out of water. You know, why did God call me? I had absolutely no anticipation in my life for a moment. I was going a different way. No idea God would call me into the ministry full time. It was kind of a surprise, a shock. But we ended up, you know, following the Lord, and we're in ministry. But what you see is when God speaks and you start to go down that road, God then starts to do things that are just bigger than you, beyond you, and you just know God is with me. And isn't it so important that we have those places where God is with me? Yeah. This is a God thing, and it just builds your confidence as you minister to your people. And when you go through storms and there's things you don't understand, you just know that God is with you. I can open my prayer journal. I can go recount the stories. You can remember how we got this crazy building, man. People were praying about it, and we had no idea that we'd end up with it. And how? And we didn't have the money. We had 13 people and $250, but now your church has grown considerably in just a few years. You have a bigger facility. You have that whole wonderful building there on Water Street in Fitchburg. Mm-hmm. And God is with you. That's just the fact that he'd call us. And I hear your humility, and I believe, you know, this is especially the men that the Lord uses, because you know, there are a lot of men different ways, and we'll leave it all with heaven, but when there's humility, I people are realizing this is not Abby that's doing this. This is not George that's doing this. Yeah, there's a God that's doing this, and Jesus is glorified. I want people to encounter the Lord. I want them to find Jesus. And yeah, I like to be a little better preacher and a little bit more impressive, but you know, you get what you get. But I really want Jesus to I want Jesus to be seen. And you know, Paul said that in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. And doesn't God do that? He uses just crackpots, right? Broken vessels to his glory. And so that's just beautiful to hear your story. And I'm sure that's encouraging to our listener. Again, you're listening to Renew FM. This is Pastor George Small. And I have with me in the studio Pastor Abby and of the Pentecostal Church of God in Fitchburg. And just share a little bit about his story, how he got here. We're both part of the Call to Fall prayer gathering this Sunday in Fitchburg at 4 o'clock. And you are certainly invited to come. You know Jesus, man, we'd love to have you with us. We are meeting at 3:30 on Broad Street, 356 Broad Street in the parking lot there. And churches are coming. We're going to walk down. It's not far. It's just a couple hundred yards, a few hundred yards from Main Street. We're going to go on Main Street and start lining up down Main Street to just pray. And maybe some believers will be gathering other places on Main Street too as God leads. But we're believers getting on their knees because of a time like this, 2020, and just getting on our knees and, you know, crying out to the Lord, asking God for repentance in our lives, in our nation. Our nation's going the wrong way, and it's turned its corner, and it's been going even faster, hitting the, you know, gas pedal to go into just immorality and secularism and liberalism and rejecting God. And as a church, that's a big deal. We're called to be here to be a light. And where's, you know, what's around the corner? 2020, we might be in 2021 going, man, I wish I was in 2020 because 2021 is even harder. Who knows where this is all going? I'm burdened. I'm burdened for America and where this is going. Call to Fall is a national movement, prayer movement. You can even do it in your city this Sunday, if you're just now hearing about it. But we're going to gather on Main Street in Fitchburg, and if you'd be more comfortable with being with other believers, or you can come meet us at 330, 356 Broad Street, Fitchburg, and at 4 o'clock, we're walking down to Main Street. We're going to put, with chalk X's, 6 feet apart, social distancing down Main Street, and believers are going to find their X and get on their knees for 1 hour, bring a pillow, bring something comfortable. If you can't kneel because you've had knee surgery, you got a back problem, I know some are bringing chairs because they just can't kneel. And so that's fine. But when you can, that posture, humility, we've been talking about it on the radio. We don't do it to get a show. We're not doing this to get people to look at us at all. In fact, I'm not going to be paying attention to that when I'm on my knees. I'm going to just be God. I'm here in desperation for our city. This, we're showing you through our works. Our hearts are broken for America, and that's why we're here in this city. So it's a pleasure to have with me, Pastor Avi, and as we have this opportunity just to encourage our audience, Pastor Avi, hearing a little bit about your story, your church, what God is doing is a real blessing. But, you know, unity in the body of Christ is an important thing. Jesus said that they will know us by our love, yeah. Right? He said that. And what has happened, and it's just the human nature, birds of a feather flock together. You're Hispanic. There's a culture, a Hispanic culture. There's a language. I'm my background, my language. And it's just so we are often different culturally. We have different desires, different, you know, we're just different. Hey, that's just the world. But yet the world seeing love in his bride, in the love of God. And so unity is so important. And I wanted to talk to you about unity. And let's even consider the Spanish church and the English church and just even that bridge. How do we go forward and encourage unity? What are some of the challenges? You know, just your thoughts about unity as God leads you.
Yeah. No. First of all, unity is so important. Yeah. It's vital, yeah, for the church to move forward. That's why it's the enemy focused so much on division, because unity, even the enemy has a better understanding than us,
yeah,
on how effective unity is. And even Paul understood that there were so many cultures. You know, you had the Greeks, you had the Jewish community, and so many languages. But he said that we have something in common, the spirit. You know, that's what we have to find in each other. I know, as humans, we love to spend more time with our same culture because we feel more comfortable. We kind of understand each other, and we tend to look for the same community as us. Yeah. You know, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches for us to unite every language, every nation. You know, to find that common ground. And Paul said, you know, we had the same spirit.
right.
That is that common ground. And for that, we have to live in the spirit. Like he taught, you know, he was teaching, you know, you have to live in the spirit in order to find that common ground. And I think one of the challenges, I could probably talk about the experience on the Spanish culture, you know?
Yeah.
Is we have I don't think we have a profound understanding of what unity is. You know, unfortunately, in the Spanish community, we tend to be closed doors most of the year. We go to a church, we stay inside the four walls, we just do a minimum evangelism planning on the summer. We just do a couple Saturdays in the summer, and we think we're done. You know, we have this this idea that we have to be at church Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. It's even in the Spanish, George, Pastor George, in the Spanish community, there's even a song written that people sing. In Spanish, is that I rejoice in the church Monday, I rejoice on the church Tuesday, I rejoice of this mentality to be in the building every single day. And that mentality is because it's this mentality that if I miss one day, I'm not going inside the building, that day I can lose my salvation. That's how,
wow.
That's how deep this, mentality is.
Wow.
And sometimes I think that the unity that in the Spanish community is presented is, okay, I have an event in my church, so you come to my church that day. When you have an event inside of your church, then I'll go to your event inside of your church. And then, and that's what the challenge becomes, because not every congregation is built the same way. I might have I might do a program certain way. You might do the program some other way. You know, you might like have a style of music. I might have another style. And that's where the conflict starts. That happens a lot in the Spanish community.
Wow.
We don't see the bigger picture. We just start seeing these little things. And I think if we focus in the spirit, you know, we focus that we have something in common like prayer. This thing that we're doing Sunday is so powerful. When we unite in prayer, you know, it's, yes, God listened to a prayer by myself in a room. You know, when I pray to God, I talk to God. But the Bible shows it's more effective, more powerful when a group unite in the same spirit and the same purpose to pray. I think if God will allow people to see what happened in the spiritual atmosphere when a body unite, I think there will be more unity. But I think sometimes the perception that we have in unity is that I want you to come to my event in my church because I want you to show you how cool my church is.
Right.
And the day that I cannot attend to one of your events, all of a sudden to start this conflict, that's not unity. You know, I have a family, I have a church, and the Bible shows that it's time for everything. I cannot be presenting unity to go in an event.
I hear you.
You know, because then I will have no life, and I will not follow the priorities as the Bible teaches us I should follow. But I think this type of events like this, where we're called to pray to for the community, I think that's something that every denomination should, you know, support, because it's same spirit and same tools.
Amen.
We all pray.
Amen. No, I think you're mentioning 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. And the emphasis is on the singular one spirit.
Yeah.
And the spirit, of course, is the spirit of God. God, we are one in that way, and we are one people. You talk about the pleasure that God must have when we come together. I think of myself. I have three children, and they're so different. They really are very different. They have different ways, different things they like to do, different things they don't like to do. And it's a blessing for me when I see my kids like being together. And, you know, they are different and they have to work through being different. And there's all these issues. But it's a blessing as a father and my wife also just to see our children. They love each other and they like to be together. I hope that continues in the future. They're young adults now. It's not always easy because they are so different.
Yeah.
And the same with just the body of Christ. We are just very different people. And I may, you know, have a certain even gifts, spiritual gifts that I see the world because of my spiritual gifts. Even forget even the language and the culture. But because I'm a certain gift mix, I see the world a certain way. And so some other pastor, you know, he's a pastor, but he has other gifts with it that I don't have. And so he's very burdened in a certain way, or he's excited in a certain way. We're just different people by God's glory and God's doing. And yet we have one spirit. And it is important that the world see that, and that the world at this time needs to see love.
Yes.
The world is so fractured. America is so broken, so bitter, such hatred and discord and division. And the enemy is right behind it. And however it's all happening, it's being stirred up more and more and more. And the healing that can happen in our land is got to happen in the heart. And if it can't happen in the church, we'll never, ever, ever get there. But one spirit, you're right. We have one spirit, and be able to do that and drink of one spirit. We have that. Prayer to me is one of the places that we can meet. We may not be able to have a teaching conference on eschatology, you know, because I may view the future breakdown of the rapture or not, or kingdom, you know, we may get different in that, but we can disagree. We're all going to be with Jesus in heaven. So we'll just agree on that.
Yep.
But how all that works out, we might have variation there, but we have Christ and we're going to be in heaven together forever. We're going to be in heaven together forever. I personally do love his bride. Sometimes I'm a little scared of some things that go on because I don't get it because I'm my way. And I look at it going, whoa, you know. But I've actually grown to also appreciate the variety, too. I look at the, you know, our church is conservative. We're charismatic, but we're very Baptist-like. We go verse by verse of the Bible. But I can look at a Pentecostal church. I'm kind of low-key, but I even like just the excitement in worship. But I love the enthusiasm and the love. And then I look at, you know, maybe a Baptist church that's really into the Bible, and I really love the way they're really into the Bible. I really respect. Some are so into their studies and their, you know, their just interpreting the Scripture and learning the Scripture. And I look at the Pentecostal. I love the joy and the love. I look at the Baptist church. I love the study of the Word and the real reverence of the Word of God. I can even look at a liturgical church and see the reverence of God. They have a real fear of God. You can see it. I mean, they fear the Lord. And that's a beautiful thing, too. I can look at the different types of the church and go, wow, that's, you can look at the beauty in different ways.
Yeah.
And maybe I wouldn't be that way. Maybe I choose to be this way, but I can respect that this, even the strengths and weaknesses. But hey, we're his people. And thank God we're not all, you know, cookie cutters the same. We're different. So, but one spirit, I appreciate you saying that. And so how do we, you know, prayer is one of the ways I do believe we can do this. Is we may not be able to have a conference on eschatology or something, but we may be able to, well, we should be able to pray because we're praying with one spirit to the one Father, with the one Son as our, you know, on the right hand of the Father, you know, the God, we have God, and the same God, the blood of Christ covers us. He's our, you know, high priest. We have the same. We should be able to, and maybe you'll pray different. And,
No, I think we all go through that, you know, and it's, I think it's, like I said before, we need to learn to look at the bigger picture. And I think a lot of the things happen for the lack of knowledge, you know. One example, I will say the bigger picture. For example, the first church, they only have three theological points. Is that Jesus was the Son of God, that he died, resurrected, and he's coming back. You know, sometimes we get into little detail. Okay, are we going to, is he coming back before tribulation, the mid-tribulation, or after?
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we get into the details, but it's like you said, if we saw the bigger picture, okay, he's coming back. He's coming back regardless, all right? At the end of the day, we're going to meet him.
Yeah.
And if we start picking little things and let the little things divide us, because I think that's the most frustrating thing, is that we're letting little things divide us. It's not even the main thing, you know. At the end of the day, we all believe that Jesus was the Son of God. We all believe that he resurrected, and we all believe that he's coming back, right? And I think if we manage to hold those three main ideas and the same spirit through prayer, we can manage to hold a very strong bond.
Amen.
You know, if there's a lesson that we can learn, which is ironic because I'm using probably the worst example in the Bible to show the strength of unity, is that when they were building the Tower of Babel, right?
Yep.
They say that they were so united that God himself had to come down to spread them.
Yeah.
Even though they had the wrong idea. The wrong mentality, but their bond was so tight, so strong, that God himself, if you read the Bible, it says God himself, we're going to have to split this, you know? But I think if we turn around and we're able to, I think maturity comes. I think having conversations help. For example, I can talk about my experience. I was born, and even though I had my days when I was young, a young person, I was not a Christian, but I was born in church. And mainly I can say I was raised in the Pentecostal. And sometimes you can find yourself in a bubble that you only know about the Pentecostal point of views, the Pentecostal teaching. And when you don't have these conversations with with other people from different denominations, you don't get to see all the points. You don't get to see, because then if anything is outside that bubble, you tend to categorize it as demonic or and I think it's opening the doors. Like, nobody wanted to go to Samaria, but Jesus did. Jesus did, you know? No, we're not supposed to. We don't get along with them. This is not. But Jesus is like, you know, I'm walking there. And it was a long walk. If geographically, if you look, that was a very, very uncomfortable path to get there. But Jesus did. Jesus went there to talk to one woman. He basically broke all the patterns of that culture teaches. And I think that is one of the most dangerous thing is that we trying to teach culture instead of teaching the Bible.
Right.
You know, I speak to a lot of pastors that are Puerto Rican, and you know, I'm young. Sometimes maybe they just listen to me and say, okay, you know, whatever.
I hear you.
But one of the things I tell them, okay, you came from Puerto Rico. And I usually tell this to pastors that basically transferred from Puerto Rico to the United States. And one of the things I tell them, you come from Puerto Rico, you got to remember that now you're going to pastor a church with different cultures, even within the Latin community. Because you have Central, South American, you know, they have a different culture than Puerto Ricans, Dominicans, and Cubans that were on the island. So I always tell them, when you come to the United States, you got to understand that you cannot pastor like you did in Puerto Rico, you know, because now you're going to face different cultures. When we talk about the Central South Americans, they tend to be more relaxed.
Right.
People from the island, we tend to be more hyper. And we tend to speak very fast.
It's interesting you say that, yeah.
That's one of the things I had to learn. It's okay. Yes, I tend to get a little bit excited when I preach, but I got to learn how to speak slowly, you know, so everyone can understand. I cannot use a lot of the terms or phrases that I use in Puerto Rico, because now I'm going to lose the people from Central and South America.
It's fascinating you say all this, because there's a lot of diversity within the Hispanic world.
Oh, yeah.
As somebody in Central America or South America and somebody from the islands, the cultures can be tremendously different. And there's even differences in the languages. And so there's just all kinds of diversity of people and cultures, and yet the one spirit and trying to be sensitive. You're expressing that even in your Hispanic church, the need to really be sensitive about and just aware of the different types of people. I love them, and I'm going to try to speak differently, leave out phrases, appreciate there's differences. And when we do that, we're helping create unity when we love and we consider, you know, the differences. I think of Paul in his letter to the Philippians, you know, giving preference. I give preference to my brother.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talk about wearing masks. We're wearing masks in the studio right now. You know, we look like we're on a spaceship. You know, we could be orcs or something. And, you know, Lord of the Rings, you know, we got these masks on. And it's so different. And but I, you know, some people will say, you know, what are you doing wearing a mask? You know, some Christians will say that to me. And, you know, don't you believe the Lord? You know, and it's not an issue of belief at all for me. It's an issue of love. Right. It's an issue of giving preference. And I trust my God, but I'm with people in the community. I see people in the community, other people in the church. I give preference to them. It isn't an issue of my faith. And, you know, I know Jesus is victorious. But there are people that aren't in the same place and they're scared. Why would I make them scared without wearing a mask? Why somebody in the community? I give preference. Love. The greatest of these is love.
Yes.
In fact, if I have faith and I can move mountains and I have love, have not love, it doesn't mean anything.
Yes.
And so what you're expressing is that I love. I don't give preference to my way or our way. You know, we can, you know, yeah, we have convictions and so forth, and we are going to do things certain ways. But when it comes to the body of Christ, I'm going to love his bride. I'm going to even give preference within ways that I can and accommodate, you know, the best I can or reach out to. And so I wear a mask. You know, we were out walking last night on a prayer walk, and for a little bit, you know, we're outdoors, so there wasn't a lot of us last night, so we didn't have our mask on for part of it. And we're outdoors, but we did walk by a gal who was by a building, and she got real excited that we didn't have our mask on. And I immediately put my mask on, and I could preach to this lady on the street. Yeah, Jesus is my victor. But you're afraid, lady. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to put my mask on. Then I'll tell you about the Lord.
Yeah.
Love is the greatest thing.
Oh, yeah.
Love is the greatest thing. It is greater than all of these other things. And Paul made it clear. It's nothing. You can speak in all tongues, sound like an angel. It's nothing without love. And I really appreciate that too, Pastor Abhi, and just hearing your heart and, you know, the challenges of unity, but your heart trying to just give preference to people. And I think the strength too of the power of unity, because there is power in unity.
Yeah.
In the church locally, when we're not together, when we can't have the bridge to one another, we're going to, you know, let's face it, we'll still have our different churches and our different types of singing and dress and whatever. We'll still do that, but having a bridge to one to another and opportunities to do things together and really cultivate that in the community, is the church is so powerful. Because when we're little different churches and we just stay that way, I don't know about you, but I can, you know, if I start just thinking within the walls of our church, Fitchburg seems like a bigger place that's dark, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just, I'm just this little corner. But when I start noticing all the churches that are all over, the body of Christ, man, there's a lot going on with Jesus around here. You know what I mean? There's a lot. It isn't quite that way. It's a false impression that I can have because I just got my little corner. And I remember hearing a Chinese parable of there once was a lion and there were four bulls. And the lion always wanted to, you know, get the bulls, right? But he couldn't, because the bulls kind of hung out together. So he would kind of sneak up, and they had those big horns. And with the four of them, they would just chase off the lion. He'd run every time. Well, he got this idea one day. Once in a while, one of the bulls would linger back a little eating. And he decided he'd come up with just a distance where he was safe. And he would start whispering like, hey, you know, those other three are talking about you right now. You know, they really said, you know, you start whispering little lies. And the little bull... other bulls just started hearing the lion, you know, really? They're talking about me or whatever? Well, over time, what he was able to do is he got them all angry at each other, and they all ran off from each other. And he had four good meals. You know what I'm saying? Because he could take them on one at a time, but he couldn't take them on together.
Yeah.
And we are lacking revival in influencing our culture.
Yeah.
You know, some church may be thinking they're rocking and rolling, but you're rocking and rolling on a ship right now that's sinking, because America is sinking. We do better. We will do better when there is a real love between the bride of Christ and we do the things that we're doing and be our individual way, but yet really stand also with the united body of Christ. We're stronger that way.
Yeah.
Pastor Abhi, yeah.
Yeah, no, this is a story. I really love that story. But, you know, it's also a story I heard that really impacted me. It was a story about two islands where the people that live on two islands had a problem. It's that they could not bend their arms. So by not being able to bend their arms, they couldn't feed each other. They couldn't eat. But one person that found these two islands noticed that one island, the people that lived there, they were all very skinny, and you could tell they were, you know, dying of hunger. But then the other island, everybody else looked healthy. And the person asked himself, how could it be that these two islands with the same problem, one of them look, you know, like they're dying of hunger, but then the other one looks so healthy? And when he visited the healthy island, he asked, how you guys do it? How you guys manage to eat? He said, well, we discover that if I feed my brother, he can feed me. And we help each other to eat, because we cannot bend our arms. So we help each other to eat. And that's a, for me, that's a story that stuck with me forever, because it's true. We got to help each other. And John, the book of, one of the letters of John, teaches that love is basically the best credential that you can have, that you have a relationship with God.
It's just stated simply.
You know, he said, that's how he knows that you have a relationship with God, is when you love your neighbor, you love even your... Jesus went beyond. He was like, you got to love your enemies too.
Oh, amen. Amen.
You know, we just tend to love the ones that we care about, yeah. The one that loves us back. But Jesus showed us, you know, how you, in Spanish, when we translate it to the Greek term, agape, it's a love that doesn't expect anything in return. And I think that if we learn to love that way, that I want to unite with you, I love you without expecting anything in return. You know, it's not, I'm not having this unity because I can get a benefit out of it. And, you know, we do it because it's a genuine love. It's a, and love brings respect. When you love, you turn to respect. And I think if we genuinely start to love each other, we respect each other. No matter how you decide to praise the Lord, it doesn't matter the language, the style. I can respect that because I love you. Right. And I think that's, like you were saying, that's, I think that's the main key to have unity, is to let that love take over our lives.
Amen.
Because God, you know, many people teach love. Many people preach about love. But God did not teach love, did not preach. He is love.
Amen.
So he is love. And he, if he is in us, that's what we got to show.
Amen.
You know, many people say, I cannot see God. He's invisible. Well, God has given us the opportunity to show his love through us.
Amen.
You know, and I think that's one of the...
Amen. It's interesting. Jesus, speaking of knowing, you know, the world knowing who we are, he didn't say to the disciples, the world's going to know you by your theology or by your, you know, your outreaches or your worship. You know, those are all wonderful things. It is true. He said in John chapter 13, verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another.
Yeah.
It really makes the church stand out as unique. At a time like this in 2020, where there is such hatred, such strife, such pride, such bitterness, fighting and violence, it's like we are coming into the days of Noah. What the world will see that we are truly of God is when they look at the church and they see the Spanish believer, the white believer, the African American, the Native American, the Chinese. They see this church and these people love each other.
Yep.
Why would I want to live in hatred? You know, why would I want to be violent? And what a miserable world. But I look at the church and these people love each other.
Yep.
It really, and Jesus said, they're going to know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another,
yep.
John chapter 13, 35. And we just can't discount that. Yeah, we stay within our walls, and maybe our walls get bigger and bigger because we're just rocking and rolling and things are happening, but we're still just our little corner.
Yep.
And we're, you know, we're still within just our walls. It's just our little kingdom. And what the world needs to see is the kingdom of God,
yep.
And the kingdom of Christ. And that is this kingdom he made. And it's not just your little corner or my little corner. It is the bride of Christ. And yeah, we are different and we respect our differences. And it's not uniformity. We're not trying to, God didn't tell us to be uniform. You know, we're okay, everybody wear the same haircut and the same clothes and we got the same mark symbol on our church and we have the same name. There's no uniformity. Now, it isn't that. It's actually a diversity of you know, individuality, but a true unity that is based on true love that God has given us, the one Spirit. And that is what we need. And prayer is a place we can do that. Again, you're listening to Pastor George Small. This is Renew FM. And I have with me Pastor Abby from the Pentecostal Church of God. We are just having a conversation here about unity. There's a prayer event this Sunday on June the 28th in Fitchburg. You're certainly welcome to join us, or you can do it in your community, but it's called Call to Fall. 4 o'clock in Fitchburg this Sunday. Believers from different churches is Pastor Abby in the Pentecostal Spanish Church of God, George Small, Horizon Christian Fellowship, Cana, the different ones of us. Meet at 356 Broad Street at 3:30, and then we're going to respect all the social distancing. If we're too close together, we'll wear our mask. But we're going to go out to Main Street, and we're putting X's, you know, just an X with chalk along Main Street. And a believer is going to kneel at an X, and the next believer at the next X, and the next believer at the next X, facing Main Street, all along Main Street of Fitchburg. We're going to get on our knees, and we're going to pray in unity of heart and the Spirit. We all pray. We all have the same Spirit. We're born again. Very different churches. Sunday mornings may look very different. The way we dress may be very different. Our languages may be very different. Our cultures may be very different. But we're born again. We got Jesus. We got one Spirit. And we have the same Father and Jesus, our Savior, our High Priest, at the right hand of the Father, and we're going to pray together. And we're going to be spaced out, so we won't actually be saying the same. We're going to be spaced out, so we only can hear probably the person on either the left and the right. We're going to have on our radio 1 hour of prayer also. Pastors that are going to just lead prayers. So those that are on their knees on Main Street, if they want, they can open their smartphone and have the little Renew FM app and maybe know what to pray next if they don't want to know what to pray next. Some believers are just intercessors. They're going to just get on their knees and just pray for an hour and pour out their heart to God. We're giving out water bottles, so everybody will have a water bottle. And on the water bottle will also be prayer points just to help people that maybe, you know, some of us can pray a couple minutes and that's all we don't do it a lot, so we run out after 5 minutes. We're maybe a new believer, so we want to give different ways to help people to continue to pray the hour. But if you already have it on your heart and you pray a lot, man, you'll get on your knees and you'll just pray, you know, in your heart and crying out to God. Desperate times, desperate measures. This is not a show. Yes. This is not to try to attract attention. This is, there's nothing political, no buttons, no political shirts, no political signs. There's nothing political at all here. This is God's people on our knees because of what is happening. We look around. What is God saying? What is coming next? Where's this world going? Are we listening to God? And it is a time to cry out to God. Call to Fall is a national movement that's been going on since 2009. Churches getting on their knees. Fitchburg, we're going on Main Street and getting on our knees and praying for a break in the weather. We're not afraid. I'll be out there if it's raining. I don't care. I've done prayer events where we rented out the entire ski mountain, Mount Wachusett, in 2004. The whole ski mountain, people coming from all over, and a hurricane came. We were out there. But you know what? There are pictures. It rained 6 inches of rain. Wow. That prayer gathering, Stand New England. We have pictures of believers on their knees in the mud. And we're going to be out there on Main Street on Sunday. We're praying for the weather to work our way. Whatever, you know, God is good either way. Prayer, what a time. What a time in America. Unity. Pastor Abby and I are talking about unity. And just love is what binds us together. Common ground we have in our Bible. You know, we're told we have a common ground. The common ground is our salvation. And I'll read it to you right here. Jude chapter 1, verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation... Our common salvation, the common ground. So, Pastor Abby, it's just a privilege. And, you know, further thoughts you may have to just encourage our audience at this hour?
Yeah, it's especially, you know, I want to focus to everyone. But if there's any Hispanic pastors that are listening at this moment, I encourage you to join this event. And not just this one event. It's to start a bond. I think the city needs... the pastors to get together. You know, so much can happen. Prayer is not an outdated method. It's still so powerful. You know, I know we're living in times that we have new strategies of this and that, but prayer is still vital. Prayer is still powerful. And that's the main tool. Through the whole Bible, we can see how, you know, the people, God listened to the cry of the people of Israel in Egypt. When we go through the time of Judges, we see that every time there were problems, they cry, and God listened to prayer through the whole Bible. We can see how God pays attention to our cry, when we pray. So I encourage everyone to unite and look beyond the little things and look the major picture, which is Christ and Christ alone.
Yeah, amen. So on Sunday, we have Hispanic churches, white churches, African-American churches, black churches. We have different churches that are part of this right now. And you're listening, you're local. You don't have to have a church in Fitchburg. Call to Fall Sunday is a national movement. You can come and join us in Fitchburg. There are some that are coming from other places too, especially it is a Fitchburg event. But hey, the body of Christ, maybe you're burdened in just hearing believers on a city street on their knees. Maybe you saw even that video, you can see it on YouTube, of Brazilian believers that got down on their knees earlier in the spring, spread out, and you can just hear them crying out to God. And it's quite a little video to see. That's what we're doing on Call to Fall Sunday in Fitchburg. 3:30, meeting at 356 Broad Street. And that's where we're going to just get together and we're going to walk down to Main Street. I do believe some believers are going to just go to Main Street, and maybe we'll be in other places too. That's all fine. Heaven is one is listening. I've noted already this week on this program how I was teaching through Jonah on Sunday. I've been going through Jonah, and I hit last week the Nineveh revival, the Nineveh call to fall, where this prophet came into town, and it was a timely text for me. I didn't plan it, but it's the way it worked out. Look at this call to fall. Even animals were put in sackcloth. Everybody from the king to the lowest, they all cried out to God because God was going to judge that city for its evil. But God doesn't want to judge. And he sent a prophet in who didn't want to go, and he went. He was convinced after quite an experience to go. And he preached that Nineveh was going to be judged in 40 days. And they heard it. They heard the voice of God in that. Maybe they had heard about the story of Jonah too and what he went through. The whole city cried out to God. And God, it says in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God looked and he saw their works. He saw what they were doing. It was pretty clear. It wasn't just like somebody's thought or somebody's good idea. He could look and he could see they were serious. And God relented. And Nineveh continued, had some sort of revival at that time. And it wasn't until 150 years later, and they unfortunately did go back to their evil ways eventually. And Nahum was sent, and the nation, but it was 150 years later that they were judged. God, I pray, this Sunday, he sees our works, the believers here, whoever, getting on our knees and just humbling ourselves before God. And you're Spanish, you're Haitian. There's even going to be a Haitian church, at least one Haitian church with us. You're, a black African-American church, white church. It makes no difference. We are one race in Christ. I've recently had some African-American pastors in our studio, and yeah, our skin colors are different, but we agree we're one race. Really, genetically, we are. We just have a different skin color, and it's just history. We all go back to even at least Noah, and as we have the same parents back to that point, if we go back that far, because the world today has all come from Noah and his wife. Yeah. But, this 3:30 this Sunday, Broad Street, Fitchburg, 4 o'clock along Main Street of Fitchburg, and hope you can join us. And I'm going to ask you, Pastor Abby, here on this program tonight, just to say a prayer for the churches locally, and just to say a prayer that God would put in your heart for Sunday, just a prayer as God would lead you. And I'm going to even ask you to pray in Spanish, if you would, just as, your mother tongue. And so as you're listening, maybe you're listening in Boston or Rhode Island, wherever you are, Western Mass, or just on our app, two pastors here in Central Mass, burdened for the nation, burdened for unity, very different churches and backgrounds, but we have the love of God in our hearts. But a Spanish pastor with me here, he's going to just pray for New England, Boston, Massachusetts right now, in Fitchburg, and just in Spanish.
Father God, we thank you. We thank you for opening doors for unity, because we understand how powerful union is. Mm-hmm. It's something that you call for. It's something that you established. You designed in humanity to be united in one spirit. Father God, I ask you that this Sunday, it's not that it will not be just one event and done. I ask you that this event can open so many doors for unity in Fishburne, not only this city, but many cities and all over the nation. Mm-hmm. Lord, I believe that this is going to be such a powerful moment that you already had implanted in heaven, and it's happening. Lord, I ask you for Pastor George. I ask you for Canada. You keep guiding them, and you keep giving them the strength, the help to keep moving forward in this amazing vision. Lord, I ask you for everyone in this city in Fishburne. Lord, that we can eventually call Fishburne the city of God. We believe it. This city belongs to you, Lord. And we are reclaiming your promises, God, towards this city. Señor poderoso, creador de los cielos y la tierra, venimos hacia ti, porque tú eres el que tiene la palabra, el control sobre todas las cosas. Te pedimos, Señor, por la unidad en esta ciudad. Te pedimos, Señor, por el pastorado en esta ciudad. Aleluya, que podamos llegar en este entendimiento de que necesitamos una unidad genuina basada en amor y no basada en ideologías. Señor, bendice este evento que ha de suceder este domingo. Mm-hmm. Aleluya, creemos en tu palabra. Creemos en tus promesas de que este domingo, este evento va a abrir puertas poderosas para la unidad en tu pueblo, Señor, y declaramos esta ciudad, tu ciudad, que te pertenece a ti, Señor. Aleluya, te pedimos por las almas perdidas que necesitan, Señor, de que nosotros nos unamos para poder, Señor, compartir las buenas nuevas de salvación. Mm. Bendice a cada uno de los pastores, bendice esta congregación, la congregación de Horizon Fellowship, Señor. Que tú lo sigas usando de manera especial. Todo esto te lo pedimos en tu nombre, en el nombre del Padre, del Hijo y del Espíritu Santo. Amén. Amén.
Well, praise the Lord. Hey, it's been a privilege, Pastor Abby. Thank you for joining us. You've been listening to Renew FM. This is George Small. We'll be back on Monday, 6 to 7. Remember, call to fall this Sunday, Fitchburg, 4 o'clock. Meet at 356 Broad Street at 3:30. Walk down to Main Street. Social distancing, separate along Main Street. We're going to get on our knees, and we're going to cry out to God. Desperate times, desperate measures. Crying out to God for such a time as this in America. Hope you join us. God bless you. We'll see you. You'll hear us again next week.